Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives very detailed instruction regarding the office of elder and deacon in the congregation. He follows through then on his instruction elsewhere in Scripture that the church, in order to be a church, must have office bearers. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in every church. Philippians 1, verse 1, the apostle sent his greetings to the saints of the church in Philippi, particularly to the bishops or the elders and the deacon. For a church to be a church, to function as a church must have the office of deacon, elder, and preacher of the word. 1 Timothy 3, the apostle then goes on to teach what the qualifications for the proper candidates for those offices are. He gives detailed instruction about the main qualifications that the brothers need in order to serve in the church. And by that instruction, the Lord also indirectly gives to the congregation something for which to pray earnestly. Pray for such men who have those qualifications in order that they may serve in the offices of elder and deacon in the congregation. Beloved, are you and I praying? God, continue to grant us men qualified and appointed by the church to serve in the office of elder and in the office of deacon in our congregation. Are we praying not just for men to serve in the ministry of the word, although that is important, that prayer must also be earnest. Are we praying also for elders and deacons, without which the preachers could not be sent, could not preach in the name of Christ? We must pray, God grant us office bearers, and pray for the office bearers that God, in his good pleasure and blessing, has provided to us as well. However, before the Apostle Paul goes into a detailed instruction about the qualifications for elder and deacon in the church, he begins under inspiration the chapter with this thought. He says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." Just as we would consider it very acceptable for a man to desire to be a minister of the word, and under that desire to begin to train for the ministry of the word, first in his college preparation and then by entering the seminary and to submit to the instruction of the seminary program. So the Apostle Paul also teaches us it is acceptable, it is proper that a man desire to serve in the church of Christ as an elder and also as a deacon. That's not improper of itself. There are temptations, of course, regarding desiring office in the church, which must be avoided. But nevertheless, as long as that desire is correct, it is godly, it is one of faith in Jesus Christ, a man, the apostle teaches, is to be commended for that kind of a desire, desiring to serve the Lord in the church as a deacon or as an elder, and in that desire waiting patiently for the Lord to set the time and through the church to call and to send him into that work of a deacon or an elder in his church. So the apostle teaches it is a noble and excellent desire, the desire to work in Christ's church as a bishop. Call your attention to that truth under the theme, desiring the office of a bishop. We'll notice that it's a significant desire. Secondly, we'll notice the proper reasons behind that desire. And thirdly, the only hope for faithfulness in the fulfillment of that desire and in the work of an elder in the church. By the apostles' instruction about the office of bishop, we immediately realize there are two different kinds of offices in the church. There is, in the first place, the office of Christian. Your prophets, priests, and kings, anointed by the Holy Spirit into the priesthood of all believers. Everyone in the church, all of God's people, are in that office, anointed and qualified to serve in that office of prophet, priest, and king. The apostle reminds us, in addition to the office of believer, out of which there is also the higher office. There is an office which flows out of the office of believer, the special or church office in the church of Christ, the office of elder, deacon, and preacher of the gospel. Not everyone can serve or may serve in that office in the church. That office is limited to a few during the time in which they serve, but also in the history of the church. In fact, the apostle teaches us, according to 1 Timothy 2, that women may not serve in the special or church office in the congregation. Office of elder, deacon, and preacher of the gospel are those high or special offices of authority in the church of Jesus Christ. Because they involve that authority of Christ and the exercise of his will in the church, one must be appointed and sent into those offices in the church. The preacher of the gospel, the elder in the church, the deacon may not appoint themselves and announce to the congregation one morning that they have decided to become a deacon or an elder in the church. One must be appointed, must be called by Christ and his Spirit through the congregation, and then ordained by the church into that office, and then with the anointing of the Spirit, serve in that office. By that anointing of the Spirit, we believe, one is qualified to do the work in the church. There are qualifications Paul will go on to teach us in 1 Timothy 3. As well as in Titus chapter 1. There are qualifications we need to serve in those offices so that if we do not have those qualifications, then we may not serve in that office of deacon, elder, or preacher of the word. The Lord must give to us those qualifications for the office, the ability to do the work, and then also the sending, the anointing of the Spirit through the church to serve in that special office in the congregation. Even so, the special office of preacher, elder, and deacon in the church do not function independently or separately on their own. They function in relationship to the office of believer as well as in relationship to the office of Christ. The office of believer comes to expression, as it were, in the office of elder, deacon, and preacher of the gospel. And that same office also represents officially the office of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And representing Christ as prophet, priest, and king, the men in those offices exercise the will and the word of Christ in the congregation. They rule, they administer the mercies of Christ, they preach the gospel in behalf of the name of Christ for the blessing and the good of the congregation. And in that balance, in that harmony, in representing the name of Christ, but also in connection with the office of believer in the congregation, the offices flourish, they work, They are a blessing to the congregation. That's particularly true of the office of bishop or elder. There are three words, beloved, that are used in Scripture regarding the word elder, the office of kingship in the congregation. The first word is in our text, bishop, which describes the elder as an overseer. He looks over the congregation, watches the congregation from a spiritual point of view, examining, according to Scripture, the spiritual life and conduct and confession, the form for ordination reminded us. The word presbytery, which has a Hebrew origin, refers to the same idea of oversight of the spiritual life and confession of the people of God. And then the third word, elder, as the form for ordination reminded us, that word is also appropriately used to that office of kingship in the church to indicate that normally the man who serves in that office will have the maturity, the wisdom, the experience in life to be an effective and godly overseer and leader in the congregation. According to those words, it is clear the office of elder is the work of spiritual government. It's the exercise of kingship in the church, but not the kind of kingship we might think of in the world. It's the kingship of Christ. Because Christ is in heaven, at God's right hand, in his human nature, he has instituted and ordained that on the earth, in the church institute, there will be under-shepherds, there will be under-servants to serve in behalf of him who is the king of the church. And so through the office of elder, Christ by his Spirit is pleased to govern the church, to rule the church by his word for the prosperity and peace of the congregation, and to build her up from age to age, from generation to generation upon the rock, which is Christ himself and his word. To do that work, Christ gives to the elders tools, oversee, to guide the congregation. Those tools are not earthly. Tool is very simple, actually, the word of God, along with the Reformed Confession. Elders bring the word, their work of oversight in the church. Through the word of God, they warn the wayward, the unbelieving, but also encourage the faithful, the godly, the afflicted, the oppressed. With that word, if necessary, they must exercise discipline in the church according to the ordinances of Christ. The apostle teaches regarding that office of elder in the church, it is proper that a man in the church, as he has grown up and been trained in his home, received an education in the fear and admonition of the Lord, grows in wisdom and understanding, sees the needs of the church, he understands the age in which we live, and the burden of the welfare of the church of Jesus Christ in the present as well as into the future begins to settle upon his soul. The apostle teaches it is a good thing, it is a good desire for a man to want to serve as an elder in the church. He desires a good work. That word good here in the text means noble or excellent. It describes the work of an elder as the most noble or excellent work that a man could do in the earth. There's nothing more noble, more excellent for a man than to serve as an elder or as a deacon or as a preacher of the gospel. Nothing. Wicked men today might say, well, no, the office of president of this country or that country, that's the most noble and excellent place in the earth today to serve and to use one's gifts and abilities. The Lord says, no, the most excellent task to be a bishop in the church. It is most noble and excellent because that office represents the king of the church. That office is connected to the chief bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ. Think of that, children, when the elders come to visit you on family visitation. Those who come into your door, into the house, those aren't just two men that are in the congregation, although that is true, we are men. But because of the office which they are given, which has been placed on them by the Lord, we come in contact with the chief bishop of our souls. What does that mean? When we have family visitation, Christ comes to visit us through that office. Christ sits in front of us, brings us the word of encouragement. That's why the apostle says, most excellent, noble is that work, to be a king servant under the king, Jesus our Lord. Now we might wonder, as sisters in the Lord, well, what about us? Doesn't the apostle have in this text something that applies to us? Is this text only for the men, and really we can just observe on the sidelines what's going on this morning? And the answer is no. This text also applies to the sisters in the congregation. It is true, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and also what follows our text, that yes, women may not serve in the offices of the church. Sisters, we occupy the office of believer. We also are anointed with the Holy Spirit as prophets, priests, and kings. In that office, the Lord forbids us that we serve as office bearers. Does that mean that there's no work for us in connection with the work of elder in the church? The answer of Scripture is no. Later in 1 Timothy 3, the Lord speaks to the wives, not only the deacons, but by implication, the wives of the elders in the church. They also have, as a wife, an influence on the office in the church of elder or deacon. Secondly, according to the example of Hannah in the Old Testament, God-fearing mothers must pray for, and then, having received from the Lord, those Samuels trained them in the fear of the Lord, teaching them the truth. Why do we believe this? Why do we do this in the church? With their husbands training those children in the fear of the Lord and the truth of the Reformed faith and practice, in preparation, as Hannah did for Samuel, preparation when they may serve in the temple of God, which is the church, the congregation. There is also much other background work in the congregation that needs to be done in order for the congregation from week to week to run smoothly. When the believing woman desires to support the office of elder in the church in the ways we are given as sisters to do that, we support a very excellent work, the most excellent task man may do in the church. There are wrong reasons we need to be aware of for desiring the office of elder, and those are temptations in which, in the history of the church, men or the church might fall into. There are examples in church history where some men aspired to the office of elder for recognition, They wanted to be recognized by the congregation or the churches in where they served in the countries in which they lived. They wanted glory among men. They wanted others to think very highly of themselves. They did not seek the office in humility and meekness. Others wanted to be elders in order to seize control in the congregation in a wrong way. They wanted their will to be done. They wanted the direction of the church and the goals of the church to follow their agenda rather than Christ's word. So they were tempted and fell into the temptation to push themselves into the office of elder in the church for wicked reason. Some in the history of the church wanted to be elder because they judged those who were in office before them were not very good elders for various reasons that they had judged in a spirit of bitterness and frustration. And they figured that when they would become elder, the church would be free of all their problems. Things would go very well. It would be always rosy when they served. Others may have been tempted and were tempted to think that the Lord needed them in the office of elder. If the Lord did not put them in the office of elder, the church would surely perish. That's not true either. When by faith we understand the true excellency of the office of elder, we will reject those evil motives, we will fight those temptations, and desire the office for the right reason. Desire the office because, first of all, we desire to be a servant. We understand, beloved, that greatness in the kingdom of heaven isn't the way the world teaches or the way even our own minds and wisdom think it is. Greatness is not to be on top in the kingdom of heaven. Greatness is to be on the bottom, to be a servant. That follows the example of the chief bishop or elder of the church who gave himself, who shed his blood, and offered up his life, all of his life, to redeem the church, to redeem you and me from our sin unto eternal life with God. That's service. That's the work of a bishop in the church. One who understands truly the office of elder and desires to labor in that office will seek to be, as Christ, a servant. Then bind himself to the will of Christ, the commandments of Christ, and the ordinances of Christ regarding the work of the church and the work of the office in the church. Being a servant to Christ, he will then in the second place desire to be a servant to the people of God. Not a lord over the people, beating them on the head with a club, listen to me. No, a servant. Jesus gave example in John 13 to wash feet, the feet of our fellow saints. He who desires to be a faithful elder will seek not to be a lord over the sheep, but a servant to wash their feet with the only thing that can cleanse them, the word of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he will desire to be accountable for the welfare of the souls of the saints that have been entrusted to you, brothers. Those souls are now in your hands. The one who desires the office of elder desires now the welfare of the souls of God's people, and to be accountable to Christ for how I have handled those souls, how I used the Word of God to serve them. Faithful elder will desire to feed the flock with the gospel of Christ the only thing that can feed them, the only thing that can heal them, the only thing that can correct them and keep them on the path of life. He will then desire, knowing the times in which he lives, to be a watchman on the walls of Zion. Jeremiah 6, verse 17 speaks of the faithful leaders of the nation of Israel as watchmen on the walls of Zion. That's true of the elders. He who desires the office of a bishop desires to be a watchman standing on the walls of Jerusalem, standing on the truth of the Word of God, standing on those confessions, and from that vantage point, looking out, see what winds of false doctrine and heresy threaten the church, what ways of ungodliness and wickedness threaten the holiness and the antithetical life of the people of God. And when seeing, according to the Word of God upon which he stands, threats and perils at hand, to sound the alarm through the preaching of the gospel, through family visitation, through personal advice and consolation as the form mentioned it, but to speak to the people of God and to warn them what is at hand, keep them steadfast and immovable in the love of Christ and his word. One who desires the office of elder is compelled to do that, burdened with a concern for the spiritual prosperity and peace of the people of God in the truth and the life which flows out of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will desire also that all things be done decently and in order in the church of Christ. We'll seek to apply the church order, tried and true over hundreds of years, lead the congregation in that which will serve, not confusion and chaos in the church where peace and prosperity cannot be nurtured, but in the way of orderliness and some structure as the church order teaches, so that there the sheep and that structure, that regularity, that stability may flourish, grow in the spiritual health of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will desire to do the work as best as he can, according to the abilities that God has given him, to oversee the pastor, the deacon, his other elders in their work, to visit the families and individuals, to comfort them, or to warn them and admonish them who are wayward, to oversee the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper in the congregation, to make sure that is done according to the word of Christ, to protect the church and keep the church as we committed to that when we signed the formula of subscription to keep the church free of heresy and false doctrine and to promote God's truth, and to desire also to search diligently the word of God and continually to be meditating upon the mysteries of the Reformed faith over against all that is false. Beloved, when you think of all that the office of elder demands, that now, brothers, in your hand, God has entrusted the souls of God's people, who would ever desire to be an elder? That work requires your all. You must sacrifice time. You must deny yourself. Calling involves a man's heart and mind. Not children just once on Sunday, and then maybe that one night they come to you during the year on family visitation and that's the work of the elders. No, there's a lot more, children and young people, that goes on in the work of the elders behind the scene. It's a work that goes on every day. God has placed upon you a mantle you wear now for 3 years, till it's time when the Lord removes it from you. Work demands unpleasant experiences, harsh realities about the power of sin and the church in the earth. The elder now is in duty bound to give account of his labors with God's people who are sinners in this life, in the day when he must appear before the chief bishop of our souls and give account. Who would ever want to be an elder? The proud and presumptuous who want to be an elder to gain power in the church, they don't understand the weight of the excellent and most noble task. Those who might have selfish goals in mind don't realize that the bishop of our souls will judge such in his righteousness. He is still king in the church. Those who think, like Peter did for a while, I can do this. I have the strength to do this. Well, it won't take long to realize that of ourselves we don't. We will fall if we think we do. For those who think the work of an elder is, well, that's just like a work on a board of trustees in some corporation. Very simple, regular job. It's not a regular job. It's the most noble, excellent work. When we don't understand that, we will collapse under that weight, the all-encompassing weight of the mantle of that work. And so, beloved, when you understand that as a congregation, that's what faces a man as he goes into the office of elder, you should be surprised in a way that we do have elders. And that we do have elders is a remarkable gift of God. And it's a gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes it possible by His grace alone, through His Holy Spirit, that there is in the church those who do have what the apostle says. That's miraculous. That's not natural. But have that godly desire. That's a miraculous gift of the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace, built upon the foundation of our only hope, Christ Himself, who is the chief elder and bishop of our souls, who redeemed us by His blood, who bought us with His blood. We are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. And being redeemed by Jesus Christ, He has earned for us the right and the blessing to be cared for by Him, by His office, also then through His representative, the elders in the church. He has earned for us faithful spiritual care and nourishment and protection through the office of elder in the congregation. And by the Holy Spirit, He gives to us men to serve in the special office of the church. He qualifies them. He gives them this desire by His grace alone. And then He anoints them by the Spirit and sends them into the office. Be a blessing to the church. Beloved, let us put our trust not in men, but in Christ, and pray daily for His redeeming and sanctifying grace to work in us as a church and in other men this holy, godly desire to serve Christ as His servant, a servant of God's people in the offices of the church and of elders. Pray that God grant us such men to be overseers in the church oversee us, sheep and lamb, prone to wander, to guide us by the rod and the staff of our Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we need to go, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Beloved, it is a faithful saying. It's true. If a man desired the office of a bishop or deacon, he desires an excellent task. May the Lord, brothers, bless you in your labors, make you experience that truth, make you know the excellency of serving the Lord and His people in your offices over the next 3 years. Amen.